We have a special guest just arrived. His Holiness Bhakti Sundar Vigyan Maharaj. Bhakti Sundar Vigyan Maharaj ki. Last year, on Gaur Purnima, he took sannyas from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter number 11. We have a series of verses, starting with verse 26, all the way going to verse 48. So there is a long reading here. Om Namo Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Indra annihilates the demons. Tatas turasat isha bandha panjarad. Tatas turasat isha bandha panjarad. Vinir gata swava. Vata dvajagranihi. Vinhir gata swava rata dvajagranihi. Babo dishakam prativim charo chayan. Babo dishakam prativin charochayan swatejasa surya eva kshapataye swatejasa surya eva kshapataye that was just a translation. I'll read translations for a few verses here. Thereafter, Indra released himself from the cage of the network of arrows. Appearing with his chariot, flag, horses, and chariot driver, and thus pleasing the sky, the earth, and all directions, he shone effulgently like the sun at the end of night. Indra was bright and beautiful in the vision of Indra, of everyone. So we're hearing about Indra on the battlefield. When Indra, who was known as Rajadara, the carrier of the thunderbolt, saw his own soldiers so oppressed by the enemies on the battlefield, he became very angry. Thus, he took up his thunderbolt to kill the enemies. O King Parikshit, King Indra used his thunderbolt to cut off the heads of both Bala and Paka in the presence of all their relatives and followers. In this way, he created a very fearful atmosphere on the battlefield. O King, when Namuchi, another demon, saw the killing of both Bala and Paka, he was full of grief and lamentation. Thus, he angrily made an attempt to kill Indra. Being angry and roaring like a lion, the demon Namuchi took up a steel spear, which was bound with bells and decorated with ornaments of gold, and loudly cried, "You are killed!" Thus, coming before Indra to kill him, Namuchi released his weapon. So anyone who wants to become the king of heaven, this is what you have to go through. So it's not an easy job. O king, when Indra, the king of heaven, saw a very powerful spear falling towards the ground like a blazing meteor, he immediately cut it to pieces with his arrows. Then, being very angry, he struck Namuchi's shoulders with his thunderbolt to cut off Namuchi's head. Although King Indra hurled his thunderbolt at Namuchi with great force, it could not even pierce his skin. It was very wonderful that the famous thunderbolt that had pierced the body of Ritasura could not even slightly injure the skin of Namuchi's neck. Wow, some powerful demon. When Indra saw the thunderbolt return from the enemy, he was very much afraid. That's his most powerful weapon, and it's being thwarted. He began to wonder whether this had happened because of some miraculous superpower. There's a one-line purport. Indra's thunderbolt is invincible, and therefore when Indra saw that it had returned without doing any injury to Namuchi, he was certainly very much afraid. Indra thought, formerly when many mountains flying in the sky with wings would fall to the ground and kill people, I cut their wings with the same thunderbolt. For Trisura was the essence of all austerities undergone by Tvasta, yet the thunderbolt killed him. Indeed, not only he, but also many other stalwart heroes whose very skin could not be injured by all kinds of weapons were killed by the same thunderbolt. But now, although the same thunderbolt has been released against a less important demon, it has been ineffectual. Therefore, although it was as good as a Brahmastra, it has now become useless like an ordinary rod. I shall therefore hold it no longer. Wow. Indra's lamentation. Sukadeva Goswami continue. When the morose Indra was lamenting in this way, an ominous, unembodied voice said from the sky, "This demon Namuchi is not to be annihilated by anything dry or moist." The voice also said, "O Indra, because I have given this demon the benediction that he will never be killed by any weapon that is dry or moist, you will have to think of another way to kill him." After hearing the ominous voice, Indra, with great attention, began to meditate on how to kill the demon. He then saw that foam would be the means, for it is neither dry nor moist. Thus, Indra, king of heaven, severed Namuchi's head with a weapon of foam, which was neither dry nor moist. It takes great intelligence to practice Krishna consciousness. Then all the sages satisfied Indra, the exalted personality, by showering flowers and garlands upon him, almost covering him. In this regard, little purport, the Shruti mantra says, "Apan fenanma muchi namuchi sira indrio darayat." Indra killed Namuchi with watery foam, which is neither moist nor dry. Vishvavasu and Paravasu, the two chiefs of the Gandharas, sang in great happiness. The kettle drums of the demigods sounded, and the apsaras danced in jubilation. Vayu, Agni, Varuna, and other demigods began killing the demons who opposed them, just as lions kill deer in a forest. O King, Lord Brahma, saw the imminent total annihilation of the demons. He sent a message to Nara, who went before the demigods to make them stop fighting. The great sage Narada said, "All of you demigods are protected by the arms of Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by his grace you have gotten the nectar. By the grace of the Goddess of Fortune, you are glorious in every way. Therefore, please stop this fighting." Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, accepting the words of Narada, the demigods gave up their anger and stopped fighting. Being praised by their followers, they returned to their heavenly planets. Following the order of Narada Muni, whatever demons remained on the battlefield took Bali Maharaj, who was in a precarious condition, to the hill known as Astagiri. There on the hill, Sukacharya brought to life all the dead demoniac soldiers who had not lost their heads, trunks, and limbs. He achieved this by his own mantra known as Sanjeevani. Bali Maharaj was very experienced in universal affairs. When he regained his senses and memory by the grace of Sukracharya, he could understand everything that had happened. Therefore, although he had been defeated, he did not lament. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In this, it is significant that Bali Maharaj is here said to be very experienced. Although defeated, he was not at all sorry, for he knew that nothing can take place without the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since he was a devotee, he accepted his defeat without lamentation. As stated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Bhagavad Gita 2:4-7, Karmane evikadaste ma phalechu kadachana. Everyone in Krishna consciousness should execute his duty without regard for victory or defeat. One must execute his duty as ordered by Krishna or his representative, the spiritual master. Anukulena Krishna Silanam Bhaktir Uttamam. In first-class devotional service, one always abides by the order and will of Krishna. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 11th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled King Indra Annihilates the Demons. Om, the last verse and purport, or last couple, switches to Bali Maharaj and his defeat on the battlefield. Mm-hmm. Here we see very interesting event is happening here. How Bali Maharaj, he's one of the Mahajans. He's actually one who teaches the principles of devotional service. And he's also born in a demoniac family. His father was Virochana, and his grandfather was the famous and glorious pure devotee, Sri Prahlad Maharaj. He's not an ordinary demon. He's actually a great devotee. And here, after realizing that he was defeated, many of his soldiers were destroyed, he was actually unconscious and then finally brought back to consciousness by Sukracharya. He doesn't lament. Although he's defeated, he doesn't lament. Hankering and lamenting, I want this, and when I don't get it, I lament. Or when I do get it, I lament it doesn't give me the satisfaction I'm looking for. Or I get it, it gives me some satisfaction. But what happens? Time takes it away anyway. So lamentation is the nature of everything in this material world. People struggle and strive for various material things, and they rejoice temporarily, very temporarily, when they get something, and then when time takes it away, or they don't feel satisfied with what they receive, they lament. That's the nature of the world. Prabhupada said this material world is like it can be compared with as a huge, what we say, football field. The ball is going from one side to the other side, to the other side, to the other side. And back and forth is hankering, lamenting, hankering, lamenting. Never satisfied, always striving, never getting satisfaction. That's the nature of this world. One has to understand this in order to practice devotional service, what we say, successfully. And of course, even those who are successful by material standards and calculations have to lose everything, and that is called death. So lamentation is there for everyone, even the most, what we say, popular and successful people materially. But a devotee, one who's engaged in devotional service, is meant to be above this hankering, lamenting. Because devotee acts simply on the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada quotes one verse from the Bhagavad Gita here, Karmana evikadaste ma phalecha kadachana ma karma talahetu abhur ma te sangosta karmani. The translation is, one has a right to perform their duty, but they're not entitled to the results of action. The verse goes on to say, one should never be attached to the results of one's activities, nor should one be not attached to performing one's duty. One has to do their duty. Indra had to do his duty in the face of difficulty. Bali had to do his duty in the face of difficulty. Somehow we see that duty is not always easy or pleasing. Or when we say, sometimes it's even very difficult. But duty is what situates one in the process of devotional service. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes one article where he describes how people take to spiritual life for different, what we say, motivations. And he explains that sometimes people worship God because of fear, the fear principle. Sometimes you see many religions, they propagate this principle of fearness in order to get people to worship God. Oh, if you don't serve God or worship God or offer this or even give a donation to the church, something will happen to you, not good. Or you may not get your material plans, right? This is quite common with many, what we say, mainstream religions nowadays. The fear problem, you will go to hell. Already in hell, but so they turn up the heat a little bit. So this principle of it's like, how do you discipline children? Sometimes you use that principle in order to get children to do things or to behave. You somehow or other threaten them with not allowing them to do what they want or taking away their allowance or punish them in some way in order to get them to obey. But when you deal with people who are grown up, intelligent, it really isn't a way to really inspire people, because fear is not a positive thing. It's not at all positive. So sometimes we see that people are motivated out of this principle of fear. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, it's the lowest of all motivations. Because what is the goal? It's not so much the goal that is designated or illuminated at all. It's that if you don't get it, you don't do it, you're not going to get what you want materially. Or you may be punished. God is going to throw some thunderbolts at you and like that. He's going to make it difficult for you to be happy in this world. Although we find sometimes in Vedic scripture that principle is there, it's not illustrated as a means for practicing devotional service. A little higher than that, as described by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is the principle of happiness. That one is motivated to engage in devotional service or serve the Lord or take up a spiritual practice because we'll be happy. This is a platform of happiness. But then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that when one's happiness is not preconceived by one's activities, one hesitates to perform their activities. In other words, if it's not always there by one's, what we say, evaluation, one may hesitate to do their duty or serve the Lord like that. So happiness is not also, what we say, a platform that is what we call stable. It's not a stable platform. I like it, I don't like it. I like this duty, I don't like this duty. This is called monodharma. It's a platform of mental, what is good, what is not good. And who's the center? Not God, but me. It's my happiness that's at stake. Therefore, the motivation is still somewhat self-centered. Higher than that, and what is being spoken here, is that one has to act on the platform of duty. Duty is the platform that situates one nicely in devotional service. Whether it's easy or it's hard is not a consideration. Whether it's difficult or not difficult is not a consideration. A consideration may be how to perform it. That is a consideration. But not to reject it because it's difficult. Therefore, Prabhupada said, this is first-class devotional service, that one acts on the order of the spiritual master or on the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then one is situated nicely in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada, when he was praised for his success in spreading Krishna consciousness throughout the Western world, which was a grand, grand feat, to spread Krishna consciousness in Western countries is very difficult because Western society is very materialistic and their religions are also, they mix in karma, jnana, and other aspects and motivate people in that way. So Prabhupada was giving something different, pure devotional service. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. When Prabhupada arrived on the shore of America, he was thinking, how am I going to explain to these people that you have to follow these principles? He said, when I speak to them of these principles, they'll say, very nice, Swamiji, now go home. We have enough religions. We don't need this. But Prabhupada, being fixed on the order of his spiritual master, and knowing that this was the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was determined to become successful. Therefore, Prabhupada used to quote one verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Vyasatmika budhir ekeha kuranandana bahu sakya yanatascha buddhayo vyavisahinam. That those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one, O beloved child of the Kurus. Those whose intelligence are irresolute, they're many-branched. So what does that verse mean? That one who is on this path is not thinking in so many different ways. They're fixed. They've got their mind on the service. They have their mind on the goal. It's almost like, they say, tunnel vision. Sometimes they use that in a negative way. When you have tunnel vision, you just look in a certain direction and can't see anything from the sides. But in devotional life, it's actually a great quality to be fixed on the goal and to fix on one's devotional service. And therefore, Prabhupada, when he was praised, he would sometimes quote this verse, and he would quote Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti's commentary on this verse, that he gives the commentary. He says that whether it's easy or hard or difficult or even seemingly impossible, which Prabhupada had that mission, and sometimes many of us also have difficult services, he said that's not a consideration. That's not the consideration. The consideration is, it's the order of my spiritual master, therefore that's all I know. That resolute, yasya bhakti, what is that verse? Yasya devi para bhaktir, yata devi tata guru, dastaifam, katitam yarta prakasanat mahatmanaha. The one who has that, what we say, fixity on the instructions of the spiritual master and the Lord, all the imports of all Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed within the heart to that practitioner, that devotee. In other words, when one is determined to execute the instructions of the spiritual master, not considering the situation, then one, as Prabhupada said, this is first-class devotional service. This is first-class devotional service. There's an analogy, and it's actually a story from the Mahabharata on Yudhisthira and Bhim, Arjun, and Dronacharya. Dronacharya was teaching archery to these three brothers, and he had put a clay bird up in the tree. And then he called first Yudhisthira to look up into the tree, and the idea was to shoot the bird with the arrow. So he called Yudhisthira, come forward, look up in the tree, what do you see? Do you see the bird? Yes. Do you see the tree? Yes. Do you see the sky? Yes. Sit down. called Beam. Same situation. Standing in a little area that he had designated to stand in. He looked up in this tree. Do you see the bird? Yes. Do you see the tree? Yes. Do you see the sky? Yes. Sit down. And then he called Arjun. Now, Arjun was his best student. He'd stand in the circle, look up into the tree, pull back your bow. Do you see the bird? No. Do you see the tree? No. Do you see the sky? No. What do you see? I see the eye of the bird. Shoot. He could only see the eye of the bird. In other words, he had his eye fixed on the target. For he was the best of all students of our Dronacharya. And that same way, that the instructions of the spiritual master, or should coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are the life and soul of the devotees. One may get an instruction, and one may clarify their instructions by questions, but once you cannot reject the instructions of the spiritual master, to do so is an offense. Or sometimes a spiritual master will see, we're getting on to another point, but it's an interesting point. Sometimes a spiritual master will see that this devotee, is my disciple, is not so surrendered. So he won't give them the instruction that they need to practice, to move forward on spiritual life. He'll give them an instruction just to keep them engaged in devotional service. That kind of instruction is just what we say, some buffer to allow that person to stay in the practice of devotional service. But when the spiritual master sees that this person is ready to execute whatever instructions, then he gives them the best. He gives them that instruction when he can make much progress. And sometimes those instructions are difficult. Usually it's not so easy. Why? Because within the instruction becomes the release of the material attachments also. Our material attachments also become somewhat, what we say, dissipated by the instructions of the spiritual master. And that's where the instructions become difficult. That's where the instructions become difficult. When we still want to hold on to whatever material attachments we have, but the spiritual master is designated to destroy that attachment, because that attachment keeps the conditioned soul conditioned. Keeps the conditioned soul conditioned. Here, we're going back to the point that Bali, he's a devotee. He was defeated. He was not sorry because he knew that nothing happens without the sanction of the Lord. Prabhupada writes in another section of the eighth canto where you may want something, and I may want something, and somebody else wants something, doesn't matter. It's what Krishna wants. So therefore, a devotee is always thinking, what does Krishna want from me? How best can I serve Krishna? And therefore, with that, when we say that fixity, that determination in mind, one executes their devotional service. One has to be determined in devotional service. Without determination, one cannot last. Prabhupada gives that as the principle of success in devotional service. That fixed on the order, but determination. Because determination is a feature that helps one overcome obstacles. And there are many obstacles. We use the life of Srila Prabhupada as the prime example of difficulties. How many difficulties he had. Crossing the ocean at such an advanced age, when even people in the material world, people who are, you know, have heard about Srila Prabhupada, when they heard that he crossed the ocean and began a religious movement at the age of 70 years old, they're astonished. They're amazed, especially those who are elderly. One man was telling the devotees, he said, "You don't really understand what your spiritual master did. at such an advanced age, still, it wasn't a consideration. You know, Prabhupada had 2 heart attacks on the Jaladutta. And when he got to America, it was only 2 years later, he had the 3rd one. And he was forced to go back to India and came back after some time again. And so many difficulties. There's a whole, everyone knows the difficulties Prabhupada went through. But, and sometimes we're out distributing books and nobody's taking books. And people don't even want to look at you. But it's the instructions that you have to distribute books. So you do it. And because of your determination and not being attached to the results, that is what has been mentioned here. One should not be attached to the results of one's activities. We can't bring about the results. The results are not within our power. But we strive for results, don't we, in our devotional service? We want good results. Just like we try to build temples, we try to distribute books, we try to, you know, inspire people to come to Krishna consciousness. So we're inspired when these things are positive. But ultimately, Krishna is the person who gives the results. Not our endeavor in what we say petitions Krishna in such a way to give us the results. But it's even in our endeavor, Krishna doesn't have to satisfy that. Sometimes in our endeavor in devotional service, he may see a devotee is very much proud of previous success. And due to that false pride, by having some success, Krishna doesn't give him the results anymore. All of a sudden, something changes. Why? Because it's not like Krishna is interested in the results at all. He doesn't need anything, nor does the spiritual master need anything. But he wants to purify the devotee from the anarthas. So in order to do that, sometimes we fail in our attempt to execute devotional service. And due to that failure, we become humble. We realize it's not by our endeavor or by our intelligence or by anything. It's only by the mercy of the Lord that things come out successful. But one should not be attached. One should be attached only to doing their duty, that's all. And striving in such a way as to please Krishna by the execution of our duty. With that consciousness in mind, then whatever happens is pleasing to the Lord, even if it doesn't come out, what we say, according to our calculations. That is Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada said this is first-class devotional service. First class. One is fixed simply on the instructions of the spiritual master, not attached to the results of activity. This is the whole material world. No one, Prabhupada used to speak about this all the time, no one will do anything in this world without any results. Prabhupada said no one will go to work simply to work. One is thinking, I'll get some pay, or I'll get some position or something. One is thinking in terms of me. But a devotional service is anukulena Krishna silanam. It's meant to please Krishna, and the endeavor is for Krishna. Even the demons sometimes please Krishna, but they don't get devotional service. The principle of devotional service is the intention behind the activity. One should not simply execute the activity, but one should have the proper consciousness or the proper intention behind the activity, and that is to please the spiritual master, to inspire the devotees, to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. With that intention, even if it's unsuccessful by material calculations, Krishna is pleased, because Krishna is accepting. What, just like we were hearing yesterday from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, Duryodhana, he had the greatest arrangements for Krishna. But what was his intention? He wanted to please Krishna, no doubt. That was there. But what was the motivation behind pleasing Krishna? His own personal aggrandizement, his own personal conquest. to get Krishna on his side. He wasn't caring about Krishna. He was caring about what he can gain from pleasing Krishna. When Krishna simply went to the house of his devotee, Vidura, and ate some bananas, he was more happy and satisfied receiving the bananas in a loving way than he was, you know, this grand festival that Duryodhana had arranged. So that is devotional service. We try to satisfy the Lord. We try to satisfy the Lord's devotee. That is devotional service. Therefore, Rupa Goswami emphasizes this verse. He says, this verse is a king of all verses. He calls it Paribhasa Sutra. Paribhasa Sutra means that sutra, that verse, where all other principles that seemingly may contradict this principle are subordinate to this principle. So what that means is that this verse, that one should execute one's devotional service without attachment to the results, without gain from fruitive activities or any kind of philosophical speculation that comes through the process of devotional service, but one should please Krishna. One should execute it to please Krishna. That's all. That is devotional service. Therefore, even as Krishna said, that's why this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushram Palam Toyam Yome Bhakti Panashyati Tadaham Bhakti Paritam Asnami Payatat Manaha. Such a simple explanation of a very powerful principle. A leaf, a flower, a fruit of water, with devotion, with love. Krishna is accepting the love, that's all. As Maharaj was saying yesterday, when we were plucking the flowers, getting ready for the beautiful, beautiful, glorious Abhishek of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, you know, it was like a joint effort of devotees offering their time, their devotion, by preparing something wonderful for the pleasure of the Lord. That is Krishna consciousness. So, one should not lament, one should not hanker for the results of one's activities, and one should not lament when things don't go according. One should simply try to execute one's devotional service with determination and try to please the Lord. Whether it's easy or hard, it's secondary. One should use their intelligence how to perform devotional service, but after that, what else can you do? It's up to Krishna. And Krishna is pleased. What's that? If Krishna is pleased, everything is perfect. If Krishna is not pleased, Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. It's a useless waste of time. One can do something grand for the Lord, but if the Lord is not pleased, then one will not find satisfaction in activity, nor will that activity bring about purification of the heart. And that is the goal of devotional service, is to purify the heart. So we see Bali Maharaj, such a powerful personality, demon. But his armies are destroyed. He's practically rendered, you know, he almost lost his life, saved by his spiritual master, Sukracharya. But he doesn't lament. He's not sorry. He knows it's the will of the Lord. Now, sometimes when we find the ultimate of all catastrophes, death falls upon someone, one gets a terminal disease, or one is about to lose their life, one simply takes shelter of the Lord. And actually is even grateful for that opportunity to take shelter of the Lord in the most, what we say, in the most complete way. So even in that situation where one may find that they're losing their particular body in this situation, still, one does not lament. Prabhupada said, do not lament for what is inevitable. If you know something's going to happen, and then it happens, and you say, it's not very intelligent, is it? It's going to happen, right? Time takes away everything. So what do we lament? We do have, there is Vaishnava lamentation. What is that Vaishnava lamentation? Not using the time we have in the proper way. That lamentation we want to avoid. At the time of death, I'm thinking, oh, why did I waste my time doing all these other things when I could have been serving the Lord, I could have been doing more devotional activities. That kind of lamentation we should avoid. We don't want that. That we want to avoid because that causes great pain to the heart. So therefore one should use whatever time one has to, in the best way, to become Krishna consciousness. Now is the time for Krishna consciousness, not later. Sometimes we see in the material world, people are always postponing happiness. Happiness and success will come later, but not for a devotee. A devotee knows every minute is the best of all moments because every moment prepares one for the future moment. If you want the future to be good, act in the present, right? Because the future really depends on the quality of the present. So therefore, the quality of the present is, as Prabhupada used to say, always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. These two principles, all rules and regulations fall, what we say, subordinate to these principles. One who is always remembering Krishna and never forgetting Krishna in all situations will never lament or hanker for anything, because that remembrance of Krishna will always keep one on the spiritual platform, on the transcendental platform. Therefore, we have to practice remembering Krishna by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you are mentioning that spiritual master gives instruction. If disciple is not very surrendered, he gives instruction so that he will continue. And if he sees he's very surrendered, he gives an instruction which will free him from bondage. In our case, we have to consider our authority, the instructions which come from authority, as direct instruction from spiritual master. And that's how we consider.
Spiritual master knows what's best for his disciple. So through his representatives, he can see. Sometimes he may not see immediately, but he can see how best to engage his devotee. Spiritual master is always concerned to see that his devotee is making progress in whatever service they're doing. Progress means one is losing their taste for material things. If one is losing their taste for material things and becoming more fixed in their enthusiasm in devotional service, the spiritual master is happy. If he sees or he hears that his disciple is not moving forward, he may adjust things through his representatives like that. Sometimes it doesn't immediately happen, but it does happen. Why? If the disciple is sincere, then Krishna will arrange that. Krishna's in the heart. Krishna knows exactly. And if one is sincerely surrendering, then Krishna arranges. It's insincerity that doesn't bring about what we say the results. If we're insincere, if we're somehow still trying to hang on to something material and execute devotional service, that's a feature of insincerity. One should see that we sing every day. What is it? Guru, Shiguru, Charane Rate, Ese, Utamagati, Ye Prasari, Purvi, Sarva, As. That everything you're striving for can be found at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. One doesn't have to go anywhere else for that. So devotional service is the supreme occupation. Why? Because everything is fulfilled on the platform of spiritual life. Either one of two ways. One gets what they need, or one gets something higher and no longer has any taste for lower things. So, I mean, I had a situation where, you know, one disciple was, you know, running into some difficulty, and the authorities were not dealing with it, so I had to come and say something. So Krishna does that. When the disciple wants help, he gets help, you know. You convinced? Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Yes. Microphone here.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, while doing service, we think about results. Like to start, while starting, we think, okay, we'll do this. So what exactly is not being attached to it? Because we think, okay, this should happen. What exactly, like, not being attached to the
results?
You can
strive for results, but you shouldn't be attached to them. That's the point. If you're attached to them, then you think you're the doer. Or the, you know, yeah. Krishna says, you know, in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvarna Mayastra Saguna Karma Vibhaga Saha. He also, you know, Kartahama Vyam, that ultimately, what is that verse? Prakriti kriyamana ni guni karmani sarvasya ahankara. The idea that I am doing is the principle of ahankara, our false ego. Ahankara vimudatma. Kartaham. Kartaham iti manyate. We're not the doer. We're not karta. We are a feature of the activity, but ultimately the results do not depend on us. So you may strive for results, just like if we want to print books. We try to print the books in the most, what we say, in a way that people will read them and become inspired with them. But at the same time, we can't make people read them, nor can we make them become inspired by them. We can just try. So what it means to be attached by the results is when the results don't come, or when the results come, as Krishna says in Gita, you lament or you become jubilant by success or failure. One should know that it's by the mercy of the Lord everything is happening. Therefore, when we endeavor in our devotional service, we should pray for the Lord's mercy. Not so much for the results, but make my endeavor pleasing to you. That is the nature of our prayer. We want to please the Lord by our endeavor. When Krishna wants, he can give the results. Sometimes he gives the results, but it doesn't come immediately. So sometimes we think the results don't come. Just like if someone wants to be a preacher, but they're not qualified. So they're preaching, but they're getting no results. That doesn't mean they should give up trying to preach. They should know that in due course of time, when they become, what we say, more attuned to the service, then they'll be able to inspire others. So it's very tricky. The mentality is act like it depends on you and know that it doesn't. You have to act like it depends on you, and you just know at the same time it doesn't. If you just think, well, it doesn't depend on me, so I'll just take it easy, don't try so hard, you know. Krishna, you're the doer, so I'm just going to just sleep. Prabhupada said Arjuna didn't sleep on the chariot. He had a fight, but Krishna was there to give the results. So that's the feature. We have to act like it depends on us, and at the same time, No, in our hearts it doesn't. Okay. Yes, question? Microphone back.
Hare Krishna.
Arima.
Maharaj, it is bewildering to think that a great Mahajan, a Krishna conscious person like Bali Maharaj, he is leading a bunch of Asuras who are only interested in sense enjoyment. And he is leading them against an army of devotees, the demigods.
Mm.
So with what kind of consciousness does he lead this his followers? Does he want to give them better opportunities for sense enjoyment? Or how does he lead this group? To put it in the modern context also, someone who is an ISKCON, who is working for a company, is interested basically in getting more profits and exploiting the people.
Mm.
With what consciousness does he perform his duties? Hare Krishna.
I think you have to answer that one yourself, because I can. It's not a really, always say, advisable activity to act in such a way that you're contributed to exploitation. In fact, it's not at all. So Bali Maharaj's consciousness, he's a demon, but he surrendered to the Lord. He knows the will of the Lord. And the Lord came as Vamanadeva to purify his heart and to give him an opportunity to render service. He's doing his duty. He's doing his duty. He's a Mahajan. He's a proponent. You see, during this fight, something interesting happened during the which came out in the reading. When it saw that the demons were being destroyed, actually, Brahma called Narada, and Narada advised, okay, demigods, stop fighting now. There's no need to kill all these demons, you know. You won the battle. So we see also that the Lord has, he's equal to both. And we say, the demons, what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I envy no one, nor am I, what we say, partial to anyone. The one who renders devotional service is very dear to me. So even the demons are dear to Krishna because they're also his parts and parcel. So in this case, there was no necessity to continue to kill them. So Brahman acted to stop it. The ISKCON example really is... Sometimes people say, well, I work in a store that sells meat. I tell them, this is not a good job. Or I work in a store that sells cigarettes or something like that. It's not an advisable job for one who's practicing devotional service. If one is contributing to, you know, some kind of exploitation, it's not recommended. Nowadays it's difficult because people have to work. What Srila Prabhupada wanted, he wanted those in devotional service to work within the context of the society of devotees and not for materialistic people, for materialistic reasons. So one should try to free themselves from that. Any other questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. You said pleasing Krishna and Guru is the most important thing. So.
That's the basis of all devotional activities, is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So, what are the signals that you know it's perfectly pleasing Krishna, or I have to continue? Or what is not pleasing Krishna and I have to stop it?
What doesn't please Krishna? Well, the instructions of the spiritual master and the words of Krishna within the scriptures. We have to learn. Krishna tells us there are anukulaina and pratikul. Anukul means things to do, pratikul means things to avoid. So there's things we have to avoid that are not pleasing to Krishna, such as offending his devotees, neglecting the instructions of the spiritual master. These are not at all pleasing to the Lord. The Lord is very kind and he's easily pleased. But he's pleased when we try to do things to please him that are in line with the principles of the instructions of the spiritual master. You can't say, I'm going to please Krishna and go out and kill a few people. It's not in line with the instructions. You say, well, my intention is to please Krishna by, you know, killing some demons. But that's not your service. So you don't do that. It's not pleasing to Krishna. So one has to engage one's activities according to the instructions of the spiritual master, who is working according to the instructions of Krishna coming through scripture like that. So when you have a doubt, you ask, is this pleasing or not? If you know it's pleasing, then you go ahead. If it's not, then you avoid it. Therefore, we have to know. And if you don't know, you inquire. As soon as you inquire, you get the answer. Okay? It's simple. The mind likes to think, oh, I can figure it out. And usually gets in trouble. And just ask, that's all. Ask someone, is this pleasing or not? Is this activity in line with devotional service? If it is, how do I do it in a pleasing way? It's like yesterday, we did the Abhishek. The Lord likes. This is a traditional festival that was begun in Jagannath Puri. And now it's all over ISKCON. Showering flowers on the Lord. The Lord likes that. So we do when it's done with devotion, it's most pleasing. Mm-hmm. When you please Krishna, the path of devotional service is wide open. When you don't please the Lord, whatever you do is like so difficult. So difficult. One of the ways to please Krishna is be ready to render service. Just be eager to serve. Be eager to chant. Be eager to hear. These things are very pleasing to the Lord. Basic things. Any other questions? Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Oh, there's one more question? Okay, last question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Whenever instruction is palatable to us, we are ready to follow. But whenever material attachments come in the way, so what steps we should say? The nature of the mind is just to reject the instruction. So like what steps one should take by oneself that in spite of material attachments coming in the way of instruction, how one should act?
Don't listen to your mind. That's all. If you listen to your mind, Haribo. Therefore, one of the ways to control the mind, as explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, is to learn how to neglect it. That's all. Say no to the mind. The mind is not you. It's a conditioned element. So say no. No. That's all. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bhava. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.